The history of 20th century design in Michigan isn't just about automobiles. After World War II, Michigan was a hub for architects who broke away from the neoclassical shapes inspired by ancient Greece and Rome. The era of modern architecture lasted about 30 years and produced many structures still seen today. A symposium in Grand Rapids this weekend seeks to study Michigan's role in modern architecture, and Current State's Kevin Lavery is here to talk about the event. Hi, Kevin.
Hello, Mark. The Kendall College of Art and Design is hosting the symposium. A program called Michigan Modern celebrates our state's design heritage from buildings to furniture. I met up with Brian Conway to talk about modern architecture. He's the state historic preservation officer. We met in East Lansing at the headquarters of the Michigan State Medical Society. When you enter the lobby, you feel as though you've stepped onto the set of Mad Men. It just screams 1961. Brian Conway and I sat down on authentic leather chairs, and he explained Michigan's key role in the era of modernism.
There were certain things that were happening in Michigan that just were not happening anywhere else in the country. Of course, we had the auto industry, which was booming in the post-World War II era. We had, on the west side of the state, we had the furniture industry. We had just outstanding educational institutions, such as the University of Michigan Architecture Program and the Cranbrook College of Art in Bloomfield Hills. All of these things together with the money that was coming into the state at that time attracted a lot of young design talent. So Michigan became a center of design in this post-war era. The Taubman College of Architecture at the University of Michigan was one of the first architectural programs in the country to look at modernism, whereas other architecture programs were still kind of stuck in the classical mode, looking back to historical precedents in architecture. At the same time, the students that were attracted to Cranbrook were making their own name in the design world. Charles Eames, for example, and Eero Saarinen and others were entering into design competitions, caught the national attention, and kind of started their career as what would become later outstanding designers both in architecture and industrial design.
I think a lot of people could probably pick out a modern architectural building without even knowing that it's called that. What are some elements that make a structure modern architecture from that period in history?
The philosophy that developed in what we today call modern architecture or mid-century modern was a philosophy of moving away from any historical or classical detailing. So most buildings will be very simple, plain, very straightforward, very geometric. Very clean, use of new and innovative materials, a lot of glass, wide open spaces, open floor plans, those kinds of things.
We are right now sitting in a beautiful example of modern architecture. This is the Michigan State Medical Society building. It was built in 1961 by one of the most famous architects of that period, Minoru Yamasaki.
He was based in Troy, Michigan. He actually came to Michigan because of the synergy of design that was occurring in Michigan that I mentioned earlier. He was attracted to the other architects that were working here. He actually came and worked for Eero Saarinen for a while, then branched out on his own. He became very well known for what we might call today New Formalism, which is kind of a subcategory of modernism. And this particular building here is just an outstanding example of that New Formalism. We're very fortunate that the Michigan Medical Society has done an outstanding job of maintaining this building. You walk into it today and it's like walking back into the 50s. It really has not been altered significantly at all. They do a wonderful job of maintaining the building.
When you drive by on Saginaw, you see immediately there are 31 semi-cylindrical cast concrete arch sections. It's extremely distinctive and very striking.
Yes. Yamasaki, like other architects of that period, he was looking at new and innovative materials, concrete being one of them, precast forms. He was also experimenting a lot with kind of stylized naturalistic forms. That's why you see the curves He would apply them in a very formal manner, so that, like you say, you have the repetition. The building originally was pretty much symmetrical, which is unusual for a modern building. So he has his own distinctive style. Very few architects actually picked up on that style, so usually his buildings are very distinctive. Another very good example in Michigan is his consolidated gas building, now known as One Woodward in downtown Detroit, which is another excellent example of a building that really has not been altered a great deal. We also are fortunate to have the McGregor Memorial Center on Wayne State University campus. I think probably one have recognized as perhaps one of his most outstanding buildings, a real gem of a building. And we're very fortunate, most recently, Wayne State University restored the reflecting pools around the McGregor Center. So once again, after many years of dormancy, we have the entire architectural design complete now with those pools restored. It's beautiful.
And of course, the work that he may be most famous for on an international scale is the former World Trade Center, the Twin Towers.
Yes, exactly. And some will say that One Woodward Avenue was kind of the jumping off point for him to get the commission for the World Trade Center. And we see a lot of some of the detailing in Woodward Avenue you could pick up in the World Trade Center.
The symposium that takes place begins on Friday in Grand Rapids at the Kendall College of Art and Design. Speaks to Michigan's architectural past and its legacy. What are some of the key topics that will be discussed?
Well, through the State Historic Preservation Office, we realized that there was a story to be told about Michigan's role in the development of modernism. So we worked to put together a symposium. This is actually the second symposium we've held. We held one last year at Cranbrook. And both this year and last year, the symposium is coupled with a major exhibition. This year, it's occurring at the Grand Rapids Art Museum. The full title is Michigan Modern, Design That Shaped America. So the intent with the symposium is to, of course, encourage people to come and see the exhibition, but also then to hear national speakers talking about various topics related to Michigan's design history. We have speakers talking about the fiberglass boat industry, which developed again in Michigan, which made boating available to the everyman as fiberglass boats became more affordable than wooden boats. And that kind of followed the pattern of the auto industry on the southeast side of the state. We have, of course, discussions about the furniture industry that was occurring in West Michigan. We're fortunate that we have the home of the Herman Miller Corporation, as well as factories from Knoll here in Michigan. So we have just an outstanding heritage of iconic modern furniture design. And we'll actually be conducting tours of the Herman Miller facilities in Zeeland. We will be actually going into the facility where they manufacture the iconic Eames lounge chair. So there's a lot of really exciting things that are just once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience.
You're listening to Current State. We're talking with Brian Conway, the State Historic Preservation Officer. And you touched upon this just now, Brian, with the tours of the Herman Miller facility. Architectural tourism, how key is that in Michigan? And to what degree is Michigan really on the landscape of people who want to come here just for the joy of seeing all these great designs?
Well, I think there is a market for architectural tourism. We certainly see that. And this is also one of the reasons we wanted to get involved with this story of modernism in Michigan, because we felt that it was an underappreciated or underestimated resource here in Michigan. We knew that there was this story. We also saw, from the historic preservation point of view, we saw buildings from this period being threatened. Typically, when a building becomes 50, 60 years old, it either needs a major infusion of rehabilitation or it's a candidate for demolition and replacement. So we knew that one of the first aspects of historic preservation is to provide some understanding of that architectural period. And this period is 50, 60, 70 years old. It's coming of age. And if we're not careful, we're going to be losing some of these magnificent masterpieces like the such as where we're sitting today.
Is Michigan still a leader in architecture? We've now exceeded the post-modernism period. Does this state still have a future when it comes to design?
Definitely. Michigan does have a very strong design industry that grew out of this period. And I think that it's another reason we wanted to tell the stories. I think it goes unrecognized. People often think of New York or Los Angeles, but they don't think of the Midwest or particularly Michigan. But there is, because of these early industries that are still thriving in Michigan, there's a very strong design industry that's grown out of that. So yes, part of our goal in this whole project is to recognize that history and tell the rest of the world that there is a very strong design industry still existing and thriving and very successful here in Michigan.
Brian Conway is the State Historic Preservation Officer for the state of Michigan. Brian, it's been a pleasure to sit in this remarkable building and talk about this fascinating period of history.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been delightful.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery. And one more note about Minoru Yamasaki. As I mentioned in the interview, Mark, he was a very celebrated architect who was best known for designing the World Trade Center. He died in 1986, so he did not live to see the Twin Towers destroyed on 9/11. He did, however, see that happen to one of his greatest creations. Back in the early 1950s, Yamasaki designed the Pruitt-Igoe housing complex in St. Louis, Missouri. It was hailed at the time as the solution to the city's overcrowded slums. It was a series of 33 very stark concrete buildings, each 11 stories high. But almost from the start, it became a crime and drug-infested monstrosity of smashed windows and broken lives.
So Pruitt-Igoe was more than modern architecture then. It was a failed social experiment.
That's right. It never lived up to the promises that were made to St. Louis's poor in the 50s. So tragically, what was really the first significant project of Minoru Yamasaki's career became an icon of urban decay, and Pruitt-Igoe was finally demolished in 1972.
Today is demolition day at Pruitt-Igoe. Here in the late afternoon, with weather moving in from the west and helicopters hovering above, Door Wrecking Company will explode the supporting columns from an 11-story vacant high-rise. Part one of a study to determine if these buildings can be reshaped into a better environment for people. And not only St. Louis, but the rest of the nation is viewing with great interest the results of this experiment.